Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Groovy Night on the Airwaves. This is your host, Chuck Jemima. That's right. They call me the Jemima Mama. That's coming to you live from KROQ Los Angeles. Hope you're all ready for some exciting news because I've got a fantastic announcement for all you music lovers out there. 70s and 80s, particularly 80s, more 70s, but sometimes 80s as well. On this 4th of July coming up, get ready to unleash your wild side because we've got an incredible concert lined up at the legendary Troubadour. That's right, it's none of your business, more of mine, but who cares? Other than the dynamic rock trio, the Wolfcat with Chick Sykes. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to be bringing their sensational sound to the stage for a one-night-only performance that you're not going to want to miss. So that's right, folks. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to give away free tickets. And we'll be tearing it up on the 4th of July at the Troubadour. But right now, if you want to win some tickets to this electrifying concert, get ready. Be the 75th caller right now, and you might win. Let's see, who do we got on the line here?
Hey, Roaster! The one with a 6-inch in his toaster. This is yours truly, the Chicky Chicky Baby. Chick Sykes right here. Lead guitar player and singer. A Wolfcat, baby. We're playing tonight.
Well, hey, you're talking with the Jemima here on KROQ Los Angeles, but wait a second. Did I get this straight? Is this Chick Sykes from Wolfcat?
Yeah, Chick Sykes, bro. I'm the lead singer vocalist, man.
Well, I mean, it's nothing better. This is a pleasure for all of us, of course, but we're actually giving away tickets to your concert. Why are you calling?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's why I'm calling, Mama Jam. I'm calling to win that four-pack.
Okay, so you want tickets to your own gig.
Yeah, here's what happens, Pavity Babity Boop Boop Boop. You know, the band gets so many tickets per head, you know, because we're playing. And we got to, like, hand them off, sell them, you know. We make a couple of extra bucks for scratch, for some cigs, maybe some whiskey.
You're trying to get tickets to your own gig just to make a little extra on the side. Is that right?
Well, in a way, it's to cover a debt. Yeah, here's the low pro on this one, bro. Okay, I need these four tickets because I need to get my chick in there, Sandy, and her sister, Sam, her boyfriend, Dan, and my best buddy of the whole world, Tracy. I need to get them in that show because, you know, the comp tickets that I got for a group of mine, I had to give to my friend slash drug dealer, Rick, over there on Hawthorne Street, my 6 tickets because I owed him so much money for some blow. You know, the only thing I could do at the time because... you know, I fell off a ladder, so I can't really, you know, get on stage and do too much work because I used to be in the road crew. Now I'm the big badass axe swinger. I had to play my debt off with some of my tickets. Cool.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Chicky Baby. Guess what? You're the third caller. You win, Chicky Baby. That's right. You're going to the Troubadour July 4th, where we're going to keep you dialed in, tuned in with all the exciting news, great music, and your chance to win more of those tickets with Wolfcat and Chick Sykes here. You're going to the Troubadour, my friend. How do you feel?
Man, you have saved the cat from being naked without pajamas, Mama Jamma. Chicky Baby loves. Tweet, 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 baby. I love it.
All I can say is we're going to be right back with more of Wolfcat Chick Sykes concert at the Troubadour. And in the meantime, here's one to let you go from Chick Sykes. This one's called Ready, Rockin', and In Your PJs by Midnight on the one and only Back to the 80s Radio. Welcome, everybody. This is the one and only Back to the 80s Radio. This is Toscano from the incredible duo Toscano and Chang here at Back to the 80s. And, you know, it's another Friday. Want to thank you guys for taking your time and taking a listen to the 80s experience. But you know what? We can't do this alone, and we shouldn't. With me is a man who has more posters of Robert Smith than even Robert Smith himself. He was a man that was seen in the 80s. Actually being a personal assistant to Dave Gahn from Depeche Mode. We just know him as the Wondrous Chang.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Toscano, you were too kind with your loving insults.
Aren't I?
And to bring such a vivid picture of me surrounded by pictures of Robert Smith, the Saw character on a tricycle who looks like he was tattooed by a Target sign. That one really hit below the belt.
Oh, you loved it.
As a matter of fact, you loved it.
We are doing and finishing up a show called Wizards of the Guitar World in the 1980s. So the 1980s greatest guitarist. And today this is part two. We could actually do the show, Chang, for part 10, but we're not going to be able to do that. If you are listening to Back to the 80s for the very first time, we usually have music here on the show. Unfortunately, if you're listening to us on a podcast platform, you'll only be able to hear the beginning, maybe a little bit of the beginning and the end. They don't allow us to play the whole thing. So you can hear us on K-Hits 92.5 every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 4 p.m. all the way until 6 p.m. You can listen to the show in its entirety with music and everything. If you do it on your phone, you can actually download the Live 365 app and you can listen to our radio station anytime, 24 hours a day. And that's K-Hits 92.5. We've got the largest selection of 80s music in the world. Trust me, nobody has the variety that we have. Chang, when we come back, we're going to be talking about those riffs, those artists, those guitarists that made the 80s all that much better.
Welcome back to Back to the 80s Radio. Chang here of Toscano and Chang. That was Faster Pussycat. We are talking about the Axe Masters, the Wizards. Are we not?
We are. And we're also mentioning some of the riffs that they created. So along with the guitar masters, you can't go without mentioning the riffs, because even though a lot of our listeners have not been either born in the 80s or went through the 80s, they know these riffs. And they, if they didn't know the artist, they'll know them tonight. So it's a great opportunity for you to learn who they are and learn what they did and why they're so famous.
I think maybe we did talk about this one guitar player with this one riff that everyone knows this band for. And that was Mr. Angus Young and his brother Malcolm Young. And who could forget that riff? I mean, it's on commercials. As soon as you hear it, you just start banging your head, don't you? And doing that gyration sensation as you play air guitar.
AC/DC, most of their songs on any one of their albums were huge hits. It was one of those bands that you toss a coin and any number that you would fall on a CD, or if you played their cassette or the record, just any song, you would hear it on the radio. Now, let me ask you this, Chang. Would you consider AC/DC a pop rock band?
I would say pop in a certain way, yes. Not in pop culture, but they became popular. Some of their songs became pretty complex, pretty easy. I'll refer to the different styles of the band with both lead singers. But here's where I think they differ. With Bon Scott, more bluesy. With Brian, they kind of catered to his lyrics, his style of singing. He was more of a rough, screaming kind of guy. Bon Scott was a little bit more melodic and, you know, could be rough and tough and high and low. Brian Johnson, I mean, if you listen to that, especially the album we've talked about, Back in Black, almost the beginning of the complexity to what happened with that band. And, you know, as their albums came out, they changed and some of their songs became very popular. I wouldn't call them pop. I wouldn't say that they were hanging around with Madonna, more popular oriented. Yeah.
They just happened to be one of those bands that had electrifying live performances. Their guitarist, Angus Young, of course, renowned for creating some of the most memorable and iconic guitar riffs in all of rock history. You mentioned Back in Black. I got songs like Highway to Hell, Thunderstruck. They've all become legendary. I mean, he had a distinct style. Yeah. And of course, that contributed to the band's appeal. They were a band that that was bluesy rock, you know, these heavy riffs, but they've also been a band that, because of their consistency and longevity, they have been cross-generational, and they've gained this appeal because they've transcended generations. I mean, there's rock enthusiasts that grew up from way before them that love them during the 80s. And look, there's even little kids. I mean, you got children that are listening to AC/DC songs today, and they know some of the songs.
Yeah, here's one that I'll throw you for a loop. Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits. That's a song and a guitar riff. I mean, everyone knows it.
Right.
Children know it. My grandchildren might even know that freaking song was that. You know what I mean?
Now, are you talking about a song like Money for Nothing?
Exactly that song. I mean, seeing that we're going to talk about some of the riffs, that as soon as you hear that riff, the first couple of sounds out of your ear box, you're going to know what that song is. You know what I mean? Money for Nothing is one of them. Van Halen, you know, with Panama, with Jump. There's so many songs and so many artists that we can, you know, bring to the table right now that the younger generation is going to just know by listening to those songs, you know, in their car with their parents.
You know, when you put on these shirts that you think look cool, let's say Metallica or AC/DC or, you know, Rush or whatever it is that you don't know just because they look vintage or retro, it's time that you listen to the show because you're going to learn here who they were and what songs they played. Like, for example, I'm going to give you this following song and riff and guitarist. To me, it's my second favorite band ever. And it's a guitar riff in one of the most iconic songs of the entire 80s. A song that everybody who loves music knows this following song and the riff. But they don't know Jim Peterik, who was a member of the band Survivor, who co-wrote the song with Frankie Sullivan that became one of Survivor's biggest hits. And it was, of course, in the Rocky franchise. And I'm talking about the most famous song called Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, that's your favorite song.
Well, no, it's not my favorite song.
You dance around and just
no, it's not my favorite. Okay, Dick Hader, welcome aboard. Welcome to the show, Dick.
No, not Dick Hader. I'm just merely pointing out that you like to parade around in your boxers like Sylvester Stallone listening to this in the bathroom after you shower. The boys have messaged me. Listen to my dad. Oh, my God. The Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
Wow.
Come on. You have to admit.
Makes me want to talk to you like Mr. T.
Are you trying to tell me that when Eye of the Tiger comes on the radio, whenever it does, it doesn't want to make you dance and just start singing along with Survivor? Now, don't lie now. Okay. The silence has said everything, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
No, it doesn't.
So you're trying to say you don't like Eye of the Tiger?
No, I don't.
Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break here while I digest.
The reason we're bringing up is why.
Oh, my gosh. He's worse than Dick Hader. Bring Dick Hader on the show. Cheng's got to go.
Let's just, you know, we're going to have to stop and we're going to get in the ring. You are listening to the dynamic duo of stupidity right here at Back to the 80s Radio. And here is Survivor with The Eye of the Tiger.
You probably don't know how much words can hurt, but cyberbullying is real. Whether it's in person or behind the screen, just a comment or an unnecessary share, words can hurt us all. Words can affect lives. Words can even end lives. This message has been brought to you by your friends that care.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
Back to the 80s Radio. You are live with Toscano and Cheng and a little bit of the hater on board. You've just heard Survivor with the iconic Eye of the Tiger, followed by AC/DC with Rock and Roll, Ain't Noise Pollution. If you just joined us, we are talking about the iconic guitarist or the guitar wizards of the 1980s. So thank you for joining us. Cheng, we continue on part two, searching for the famous guitarists of that time and also telling people what are some of those riffs. What are some of those riffs that really just stand out and that even the younger generation know today?
The first guitar player I'm going to bring up is also in a duo band, metal. And I'm talking about Metallica with Kirk Hammett. He is a master, a wizard, a godfather to California metal, Mr. Kirk Hammett. I think is one of the greatest wizards on the axe in metal, in music, in my generation, or the generations that follow me when I am long gone and I am off to another path.
You know, there was a song that is considered to be their most memorable, their most influential guitar hook and riff. It resonates with fans around the world. I mean, everything about this following song. Now, it is said the song was written in the late 80s, but it came out until 91 on the self-entitled album, The Black Album. And it's the song called Enter
Sandman. Not a bad album.
Sandman.
Pretty good album.
Enter Sandman. But, you know, Kurt is a prime example of heavy, aggressive, that powerful sound that Metallica is known for. Chugging and menacing guitar riff. I mean, that's what grabs the listener's attention and sets the tone for the entire songs.
Yeah, he does. You know, and James Hetfield, he's a pretty badass guitar player as the backup guitar player, the harmonizing, the vocalist. But Kirk Hammett, I mean, dude, he's a badass guitar player, definitely a great guitar player. Here's another cat, Joe Perry of Aerosmith.
Oh, yes.
Is a great guitar wizard. And, you know, has had so much longevity in his career and has never really slowed down his style of play. You know, like a gunslinger with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With his shirt open. Almost like a more sober Keith Richards, I would say. You know, don't tell Jay, he says that about me, Jay. He's stupid moron. It's just gonna, it's how this drink on me.
Well, you know, you mentioned Aerosmith, and, you know, and although you hate the words or the three letters, MTV, you got to give it up for MTV because they're making, they made in the 80s, they made the band's ability to present themselves in a different light, and it literally introduced the bands to the world in a different light, of course. So that was an opportunity for Aerosmith to come out and present what they had. I mean, that's the first, when I first saw Aerosmith, I was blown away. I mean, what a great rock band, Aerosmith. And it's another band like AC/DC that Aerosmith. We were talking about, that even though they were popular because most of their songs were hits, they weren't of the pop culture. They still maintained that rock vibe and spirit.
You're right. Another guitar player that comes to mind, I'm talking about the cat that came from Southern California, a guitar wizard, could have done great things had he lived. Started with Quiet Riot, took LA by storm, took music by storm, took Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne by storm, joined Ozzy and catapulted to one of the greatest freaking guitar players of his age, his day, his style of music. And he had so much talent and he had so much in him to where he could not only just play metal rock. I mean, the dude could lay those strings down on classical, Spanish. I mean, just about anything. Randy Rhoads was teaching kids how to play guitar as a guitar teacher when he was 19 years old. You know, you're a badass if you've mastered it by 19.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Mr. Crowley, you know?
Yeah.
He did a quick song that's just him acoustically. Not acoustically, but man, it's heavy duty. The guy was phenomenal. One of my favorite guitar players of all time, Randy Rhoads. And if you younger cats and kitties out there have not listened to him, which I think is probably, anal redundant. If you have not heard anything from Ozzy, now maybe you listen to Zakk Wylde, another great guitar player, but I'm talking about Randy Rhoads. Check out Randy Rhoads. YouTube him, cats and kitties, and you are going to definitely be watching greatness, and you're going to feel a lump in your throat because, you know, he's no longer with us after that fatal airplane accident.
Yeah,
with him and the pilot were doing a little bit too much partying, and then, you know, clipped the tour bus, and we all know how that ended.
But yeah,
Randy Rhoads, definitely a great guitar player.
Coming up next for one of the bands and the guitarist that I remember, 1981. There was an album called Moving Pictures. And in this album, there is a guitarist of this band. The band is called, by the way, the band is a Canadian progressive rock band. with lots of memorable riffs. But one of the most iconic, instantly recognizable riffs comes from their song, Tom Sawyer. I'm talking about the band Rush with Alex Lifeson. You know, this is not my favorite band, as you know, and Chang, you know this, but I cannot deny how great this band is when they start playing. Coupled with Geddy Lee's vocals, Neil Peart's masterful drumming. I mean, the commercial success. Commercial success has left an impact on rock music in the history of rock music.
Oh, hell yes. Amen to that one. I got to see Rush 4 times in my lifetime. Blown away every time I seen them. The moving pictures. I went to Signals. I went to go see twice, as a matter of fact, the moving pictures tour. You know, and then I seen them later on down the road where they were just going to be closing out. So, memorable act. I think one of the greatest three-piece acts of all time, Alex Lifeson, along with his partners, Wizardry. Lifeson was a life form ahead of himself to create such a sound called prog rock. Definitely intelligent, as the three of them are, master musicians. Who else you got, Tusky?
Well, I was thinking we go ahead and let everybody remember. And for those that don't remember, or have never heard, we can let them hear a little bit of Rush and Tom Sawyer.
Perfect.
Here on Back to the 80s Radio.
When the economy was good and the metal was heavy, man. Back to the 80s.
Welcome back to Back to the 80s Radio. Toscano and Chang right here in charge. Charge! We just came back with the ever so great threesome from Canada. Oh, everybody's favorite guitar player tonight is Mr. Alex Lifeson with some Tom Sawyer. We also followed it up with a little bit of some greatness with Aerosmith, When Lightning Strikes, and something from Metallica, and Justice for All. We are talking about guitar wizards, axe grinders, and everything that ever danced upon a fretboard and strings with all kinds of crazy things. Boys and girls, cats and kitties, as you tripped out on some great music, I want to remind you before we go on with the show to hit us on all our social media platforms. Join the conversation, join the group, join the sensation, join the vibration that we here at Back to the 80s Radio are trying to bring you. And if you have a dedication, you have a topic you want to get talked about and get heard, maybe you want to try to get a hold of us, if you have an axe grinder or a guitar wizard that you want to talk about, hit us on our social media. Now, Toscano, are you ready to match up 3 for 3 with me?
Ready when you are.
Okay, my brother. Okay, then. I say, here we go. I'm going to talk about a band from Ireland, similar to the Beatles, inspired many of their generation, a guitar player that has changed the course of music within every album he created with his band. Then I'm talking about The Edge, who had The Edge, with none other than U2, one of the great guitar players out of the 80s. I mean, it's classical in a sense, haunting in a way, eerie, some may say, but just incredible. I know that's one of your favorite bands, as it is mine. The Edge is a badass cat. Remember that one track they did, When Love Comes to Town?
Oh, yeah. With B.B. King.
Great. Oh, man. I'm going to talk about a guitar player that was around in the 70s and in the 80s, but didn't do too well early on in the 70s until the 80s here in the States. I'm talking about the great royalty band from England, Queen, with the late, great Freddie Mercury, God rest your soul, the greatest vocalist, orchestrating, audience-driven lead men of all times, but his counterpart, oh, Lord, have mercy. Don't you ever forget who this man is. Ever forget about the great Brian May, who actually played as a pick with a quarter. I'm talking a 25-cent piece.
That's right.
Oh, who came out in the 80s, the albums they did. Holy smack.
And if you get a chance, and you don't know, and you're from the younger generations, even if you're a millennial, and you get a chance, go on YouTube and search up one of the greatest, one of the greatest presentations or performances of all time, and that was at Live Aid 1985. Type in Live Aid 1985 Queen. That's all you got to type in. And you're going to see rock in its most raw, most melodic, the greatest band, whether it's your favorite or not, the greatest band of all time at their very best. And this is during a time when it was more closely to the end than it was from the beginning. And Freddie Mercury and the entire band and Brian May just brought the entire world to its knees.
Oh, I mean, Brian May, I mean, that band will be forever remembered and forever missed in my eyes, in my ears. Probably many of our generations will feel the same way. You know, here's a band and here's a guitar player that I thought was pretty badass because I followed this guy's band, you know, when I was just a little Chang. Before I was even the Chang, I was just Chang.
You were a little Chang.
Little Chang, over here. You tell me nothing.
You were Chingy.
I was Chingy, not Chang yet. A band I want to bring to light is none other than Black Sabbath's Tony Iommi. The man is a wizard, beyond wizard. A dark wizard? Could be. A dark lord? Could be. But plays with a quarter of his finger missing. How the hell could he do it?
Is he related to the Def Leppard drummer?
Oh, now that would be an interesting band. Drummer from Def Leppard, Tony Iommi without his fingerpiece.
Right.
Oh,
you know, there's a very famous guitarist. Now, I'm not sure if you know this following guitarist that I'm going to mention. We're not going to really go into too much detail, but now that you said a missing piece of the finger, this famous guitarist, the black guitarist, he died at 27 in the 60s. Oh my gosh, I forgot his name.
Jimi Hendrix.
Okay, yeah. So when they asked Jimi Hendrix, check this out. They asked Jimi Hendrix, how does it feel to be the greatest guitar player in the world? He said, you know, I'd love to take that title, but I can't because there's a young guy playing in bars. His name is Phil Keaggy. So if you get a chance, check out Phil Keaggy. Now, Phil Keaggy does a lot of classical and he does a lot of stuff with electric guitars, but it's his own style, his own weird style. Check out Phil Keaggy. He is missing his entire or the most of his ring finger that he actually plays with. So it's interesting that you would say that because if you get a chance, check out Phil Keaggy, because in spite of him being without that finger, that important part, or who knows, maybe if he had it, he wouldn't be one of the greatest.
Right.
Chang, I've got a band here that, you know, I didn't really listen to in the 80s, but I do now that I'm a lot older. But it is a band that released a single in 1982. Let's see if you know this, okay? This is a trivia for Chang. See if I can stump Chang. If I stump Chang on this, Chang, you might as well give it up and go, go work somewhere, you know, that has nothing to do with music.
Oh, you
but
are a fool in
this,
yourself.
I know, because you'll get it. If anybody will get it, it's Chang. Released as a single in 1982. This song and this guitar riff stand out for several reasons. Catchy and memorable, engaging, thought-provoking lyrics. It's energetic. It's popular. It's a song that was featured on an album. Now, I'm not going to mention the album because that would give it away. But it was considered a landmark release in this discography for this following band. I'm going to mention the singer's initials. Okay? the singer, not the guitarist, because then you'd know, even though you're going to know this, but the singer of this band, his initials are BD. Dynamic vocals, a galloping rhythm, an infectious melody. I mean, this song, BD, I can tell you that the combination of Adrian Smith's dual guitar harmonies and Steve Harris's bass lines and Dave Murray.
We're talking about Iron Maiden.
I am talking about the one and only Iron Maiden with a song called Run to the Hills from 1982.
Now that song is a badass song. That song, it's crazy because it's always touched a nerve in me. And I think maybe that's because I come from Native American ancestry. I'm aware of the history and the lies and the raping and the murders that took place to make these great states that we do live in, some call now. But that song is cutting edge. The guitar playing is just wicked intense. That song sounds like a war going on. The vocals are shocking. They grab you by the throat. They grab you by the nuts. And they also leave that impression in your mind that that crap actually did happen.
Yeah, it's interesting because now that you're saying that, that's what it's about. It addresses themes of conquest, injustice, the impact of colonization. And it's just thought-provoking. Yeah.
You know what's amazing? I thought back in the 80s with a lot of these bands that we're discussing or a lot of bands that I followed, they had a very particular political asking for justice, bringing awareness style in their music content. I thought there was a lot of bands that made political statements, and the essence of rock and roll was magnified times five because it went from the hippie singing and preaching about equality and peace to where metalheads and hard rock took it to where, you know, we're tired of walking around with flowers and asking nicely for the government and the establishment to play nice. Well, guess what? We're hard rockers, we're metalers. We come from a time where we don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of excuses. We're seeing that time is running by and crap is still the same.
Right.
So if you're not going to listen to us, then we're going to scare the flicking flock out of you with our music and the musical content. To me, that's why I became a metalhead. It was everything that I was born and raised to believe in, but I took a couple of steroids and metal, you know, electrified a generation. That's a great pick with two great guitar players, and that band is still kicking ass.
That's right.
Vocal-wise, Bruce Dickinson. Now, the thing about that band, many of our listeners, I don't know if they're aware that Maiden is also a band that had two lead singers in the 80s with Paul Di'Anno, who sang on Killers. And then you had the transition with Bruce Dickinson taking the realm and with the Number of the Beast album, a great album. I still have that in vinyl and I still love to play it on Halloween just to scare the crap out of people. Eddie was an awesome character. I was very fortunate to watch Maiden. Oh my God, I'd say over 10, no, over 9 times, maybe 9 times.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, here's the memorable hooks and powerful delivery that have made this song an anthem for metal fans worldwide. This is Run to the Hills by the one and only Iron Maiden. I'm back to the 80s radio.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Shadow Stevens, and you must listen to Back to the 80s Radio. It's the law.
Welcome back to Back to the 80s Radio. We are banging and changing right here with Toscano and Chang, and we had just opened up your ears. That was some Maiden with Run to the Hills off of the great album Number of the Beast. Also, we had something from the great Tony Iommi with Black Sabbath, fronted by the late, great, rest in peace, Mr. Ronnie James Dio. with the title track from the great album Heaven and Hell, followed it up with some U2 and Everybody's Edge, The Edge, with the ever so great, late great, sorry, rest in peace, Mr. B.B. King. Toscano, I think they're having an eargasm. What do you think?
I'm sure of it. And now I want to change up the pace a little bit.
Because Pacemaker?
That's right. Because I'm going to bring you some of the bands that were a little less heavy. I've got a couple of guitarists that brought technical proficiency, melodic sensibility, and just versatility. And let me give you some of the bands that I think that were just phenomenal. Andy Summers from The Police with, I mean, this guy was known for his atmospheric guitar work.
Oh, yes.
You know, he brought a blend of reggae, rock, and his pop influences to the band. And just a phenomenal, phenomenal guitar player. And lastly, I'm going to bring up a guy that plays for a band that you probably won't like, of course, mm-hmm. but I'm going to bring him up anyway because John Taylor from Duran Duran was recognized. First of all, this guy was recognized as the bassist of Duran Duran, but his rhythm guitar work added so much depth and flair to this band's pop rock sound that it just shot them up to a different level.
You know what? I have to tell you, no, he was an awesome guitar player. I didn't care for Duran Duran sort of sense, but
hey, a big shout out to all the Duran Duran fans out there.
What's cracking, all you D&D fans? Don't worry, I'm only hating within my own mind. You know, I too want to ride on a yacht in a white van, tennis shoes with no socks, a white matching outfit with a striped shirt with a bunch of hot chicks
and girls all over.
Yeah, no. That is never going to happen. That means I'm never going to consider them a great band.
Okay.
But yes, Mr. Taylor is a fantastic guitar player. Under the radar, under the gun, he started the Power Station with the late, great Robert Palmer. He was a great guitar player. His career did carry on. He played, but he was always under the gun. Under. You have a couple more, or you want to go one for one?
Let's do, well, you know what? I actually do have one more.
Oh, because, bring it home, Big Daddy.
This following guitarist, his name is Steve Howe. Now, if you know Steve Howe, he's from a band called Yes. And Yes has a song, and Steve Chang, do you remember what Yes's most popular song, or the song that got played to death on the radio, which actually was just a great, great song, because that riff is phenomenal. It turns out that Owner of a Lonely Heart is one of their most famous songs as their single from their album 90125. It had a catchy chorus. I mean, and it was played everywhere. Do you remember what was the radio station that you first heard this song? For me, I heard this song for the first time when it was released in 83 on KROQ.
Wow, I heard it on KLOS. And I immediately got up and smashed my radio onto the floor in anger. And then I went and cranked on some Maiden.
Of course you did. Did you listen?
I listened to George Benson.
Did you listen to anything that was on the radio?
Yes. I was a radio.
Or did you hate radio too?
No, I just hated MTV.
Of course you did.
Story straight.
Of course you did.
Now all the hate has been
continue, my young Padawan hater.
Thank you. Now here's a guitar player that fronted a few bands and I thought was phenomenal. I'm talking about Ritchie Blackmore, formerly of Deep Purple. And as the story goes, this cat, Ritchie Blackmore, he was kind of an uptight cat. So he was always bouncing in and out of bands. And the funny thing is, he stopped Deep Purple to start Rainbow. And three of the players from Deep Purple were with Rainbow.
Right.
But he's doing a hissy fit with Deep Purple singer Ian Gillan because he's another cat that had attitude. And I think anybody that portrays Jesus Christ in an Andrew Lloyd Webber play as Jesus is going to give the guitar player of their band a hassle. So he joined, he wasn't jamming. They called the band Rainbow. Ritchie Blackmore is so badass that he actually said, I'm done with rock and roll. I'm going to chill, join my money, play for fun, marry a hot chick, and go into folk rock And my playing is just as known within the folk rock genre as it was in the rock and roll. But thank you very much. Another guitar player that comes to mind. Okay. Now, don't get excited. I don't want you to get scared.
All right.
Okay.
You're probably going to mention somebody from Pantera or Megadeth.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, I should, but I won't. I'm going to talk about a dual guitar playing ensemble from Los Angeles, California.
Right.
I'm talking about a band from Southgate, Paramount.
Oh, of course you are.
Mrs. Chang was a friend of Dave Lombardo, the former drummer of this band.
Of course.
And I'm talking about the great Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry King and the late, great Jeff Hanneman.
I knew it was coming.
Axe slaying, badass kicking cats on the string.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
Wizardry.
Yeah.
Dual anger. Get in your face. Get in the pit and prove that you're somebody. I told you, you better drink holy water if you're going to come aboard and axe grind with a Chang. Hey! Oh,
this is Slayer on Back to the 80s Radio.
This is a trick. Listen to the decade of decadence right here.
Back to the 80s.
Welcome back to the 80s Radio. Let the axes grind and get your asses all behind. Back to the 80s with Toscano and Chang as we discuss great guitar wizards, axe grinders, and masters of the fretboard that dance on the string. That was none other than the great metal band Slayer. John Taylor with Some Like It Hot. Followed it up with Yes. That was an incredible set of music.
I've got a very, very popular rock guitarist. Started in this way back in the 60s. And I'm sure he was probably close to 80 years old in the 1960s. But back in 1981, this guitar riff from this particular guitar wizard, who was also the main influence for Johnny Depp playing the part of Captain Jack Sparrow.
Where is the bloody rum?
The lead single from their album Tattoo You.
Oh.
Oh, a song that became a massive hit that's called Start Me Up, and the guitar riffs of Keith Richards. Opening this song up, I mean, it's characterized by an infectious simplicity, a rhythmic drive, and it just captures the essence of Richards' distinctive style. It combined rawness and a timeless quality that resonates with everybody. I mean, it was a riff, brother, that everybody knows. Everybody in the world knows Start Me Up. It's one of the greatest guitar riffs in rock history, even in the 80s.
I agree. And because of MTV, anybody that, when you first hear that riff, you jump out and you do that kind of Jagger twist on stage where you look around like you're in an alley at dark, all coked out, you know?
Yeah.
That is a great riff. That's a great band. Tattoo is a...
That was a great album.
A great album. All in all, you know, one of my favorite tracks off that album is I'm Just Waiting on a Friend. When I was growing up, I had my best buddy, Micah Salinas. Me and that guy used to just like listen to everything we're talking about. But that was an album that me and this cat went to Music Plus together in East LA off of Atlantic Boulevard. When that got released, both of us went and bought our copy. We also went to that tour. A dynamic album. The Stones is royalty in rock and roll.
Well, they had to be mentioned on the show, definitely. And you can't believe it. I mean, they're still filling up stadiums in their 80s.
You know, God is good when you can afford blood transfusions and it goes snort an eight ball, you know, slam some the monkey on your back and maybe drink a couple of cases of wine, go impregnate some 19-year-old chicks and still rock and roll and bring home that dough, bro.
Hey, you know what? I've got a little something that I'd like to do just to kind of change it up a little bit.
Sure.
Because back in the 80s, there was a very popular radio show that you and me, as Chang, Toscano and Chang, we loved. Mark and Brian actually had Keith Richards call into the show. And I'd like to play for you guys the exchange that happened on this radio station with Mark and Brian. Check this out.
As we mentioned yesterday, Motley Crue lead singer Vince Neil recently began a three-month extreme makeover for MTV's version of The Swan. The new Neil will be revealed on August 28th after seeing a trainer, a plastic surgeon, and a lifestyle counselor. Quote, "It's not just for me, but for my career," said Neil. MTV recently announced the next rocker getting an extreme makeover will be none other than Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards.
Oh.
On the phone to discuss this is Keith himself. Keith?
How's it going?
Good.
Man, yeah, I'm getting an extreme makeover. Can you dig it?
That's what we heard.
I can't get no satisfaction, but I can get some Botox and a facelift so I don't look like I'm dead. I mean, Vince Neil is one fat, drunk SOB, but he looks pretty damn good compared to me, right?
Right.
So I thought, if he's getting an extreme makeover, I definitely need one of those bad boys. My face is so wrinkly, even my crow's feet have crow's feet.
Wow.
And my berries hang so low, I'll tuck them into my sock. Last night I was taking fish hooks out of my hair, right? And I found a big mouth bat attached to one of them, and it was still alive.
Wow!
Turns out it was feeding on the algae in my bandana. Stunk like hell, you know. But rock and roll, what are you gonna do?
What
right?
are you gonna do?
I mean, I'm so skinny, I'm transparent.
That's right.
And the only thing holding my ribs together is this undigested mass of black tar heroin. My nipple rings are rusted to my nipples. And a family of badgers have been living in my crotch for the past 5 years. My blood type is Jack Daniels, and my snot has the consistency of hamburgers. I've so many drugs in my system, my pee is hot pink. And I haven't had a solid movement since the Steel Wheels tour of 1989. When I burp, bats fly out of my mouth. And when I fart, my DirecTV stops picking up Bravo. Anyway, forget about sympathy for the devil. Yeah. I've got sympathy for my liver, my lungs, and my immune system. This extreme makeover won't be easy, though.
No.
Because from what I understand, I'm going to have to eat food. My a-hole trainer is making me cut down from 6 packs of smokes a day to 5.5.
Oh, God.
And when I shoot up, I'm going to have to push the syringe in myself. Man, I hate working out.
Yeah, it's tough.
So, yes, I could use an extreme makeover. And don't get me wrong, I look pretty good for my age.
Sure.
Oh, wait, I'm not 384 years old, am I?
No, you're not.
Well, listen, I've got to go. Do you have any grave plots from the junk drawer?
We'll certainly find something for you, Keith.
We'll see you later.
Good talking to you.
Keep on laughing. Keep on laughing. Laughing,
yeah, you know,
it's fine. It's
will.
What keeps you healthy, right?
Thank you, Keith. Keith Richards, everybody.
Ouch. You remember the first time you tried these games, Space Cadet? But with practice,
Captain Galaxy. And when you first tried Coke, I bet you said no, thank you. But hey,
let's try Coke again.
Because once you got that new wave taste, you want to try it again, again, and again.
Practice makes perfect.
Catch the wave, the Coke.
You're listening to Back to the 80s.
We're talking about the wizards in the guitar world of the 1980s. And man, you got to love the 80s and the guitar riffs. There just hasn't been another time for music like there was back then, Chang.
I've got a band straight out of the 80s known as Queensryche, with Jeff Tate, the dynamic vocal range of that man. You would say he is somewhat in the Helford, Mercury, Dio type operatic range of vocals. I'm talking about a guitar player that a lot of people don't talk about. Actually, two of them, Mike Wilton and Mr. Chris DiGarmo, from the band known as Queensryche. The very first time I heard this band on KMET 94.7 on the Mighty Metal Hour back in the early 1980s. I think it was 82, maybe 83. A Queen of the Reich. That EP was mind-blowing. Operation Mindcrime came in later. That was a band, I mean, that kicked ass. From their drums to the dual guitar playing, they were heavy, they were hard. Vocal-wise, it took you to a rock and roll show. No theatrics, cameras weren't needed, videos weren't needed. The sheer excellence of both these guitar players, the vocals, the great bass player, the bass line, the drums, incredible band. I think those are guys that, you know, under the radar also.
Yeah, in 1988, they had an album called Mindcrime. And one of their songs in there has become, I want to say, one of their signature songs. It was a highlight of their 80s output. I mean, it's a song called Eyes of a Stranger. It was so incredible because of their storytelling abilities, characterized by a haunting melodic quality.
Now, Queensryche is a great band. They had four albums in the 80s. 1983, I have to correct myself, but I was close. They came out with Queensryche and the title track, Queen of the Reich. Also in 84, they came up with a great album, The Warning. Everything on that told a story, socially, politically incorrect. Call it what you want. No Karens were listening to The Warning. They followed up in 86 with Rage for Order, another great political song. Another great political album. 1988, they close it out with Jeff Tate with Operation Mindcrime, which some say is a little poppy, a little bit forced. But to me, you know what? Great band. I didn't have a problem with that album. Here's another guitar player from a band that I got to see and go backstage with some of my buddies, Mikey V, Mr. Mad Al. We went to go check out this band, and at this gig backstage, we got to meet Ronnie James Dio, Rudy Sarzo, and this entire band. And we sat there and had drinks and talked to them just like ordinary guys about music, life, kids, the whole nine yards. Interesting night. Now, I'm talking about the band named Tesla. Tesla had two albums in the 80s. In 86, they had Mechanical Resonance and Great Radio Controversy. Now, Tesla was one of those bands. I would think they came out with that one track, remember? And the sign says, long-haired freaky people
right.
need not apply. You know, they came up and they followed up with a cover. And that kind of just showed the true grit that they had, that they could play, you know, down-home rock and roll, similar to like the Black Crowes, early Rod Stewart. I'm talking about Mr. Frank Hannon and Tommy Skeach. These guys kicked ass. Tesla was a great band. And you know you're pretty badass when you can carry on a whole set acoustically and still give that power presence to your listeners sitting in the audience, or if they put it on tape and sold it. Tesla, I believe they did an MTV show. And one more band I'm going to throw at you with, I thought, great guitar player, because I'm talking about Megadeth, born after Metallica fired their good buddy, their pal,
Yeah.
Mr. Dave Mustaine,
mm-hmm.
who in anger and balls and guts and alcohol fueled his own band and formed with Chris Paul in a dynamic duel on the axe with heavy, aggressive, political, in-your-face, intelligent metal.
Megadeth, along with Anthrax and Slayer, have opened for Metallica.
Yes, they have. And I think because of that, they've always been given that rap, they're under the thumb of Metallica. Can you imagine if Mustaine would have stayed with Metallica, how great and dynamic they would have been to the day now? Can you imagine? Only I and you can imagine. I don't think Gene Simmons could.
No, I don't think so either. On that note, let's take one last break before we end the evening. And I'm going to take you out personally, Chang, because now that you mentioned Megadeth, the American thrash metal, here is the one and only Peace Sells.
Welcome back to the 80s radio with Toscano and Chang on another sizzling sensation. Number two, number dos, that was none other than the great Megadeth with Dave Mustaine with Peace Sells. We followed it up with the Rolling Stones with Mr. Keith Richards, and that was Just Waiting on a Friend off that great album Tattoo You. Toscano?
Chang, I want you to go first because I want to be the one that closes the evening very mellow, yet melodic and memorable, because I'm going to give you a band that you're not ready for. And no, it's not The Cure. So who is your last band? Oh, and just a reminder for everybody listening, you can send us a note here at Back to the 80s Radio. Oh, and there is one thing, Chang, that I'm just going to let everybody know right now.
Do it.
Stay tuned. I want everybody to stay tuned. I know you listen to us from all over the world. And on that note, I want to give a very special shout out to everybody listening to us from the UK, from Germany, from Australia, from Brazil, from everybody in South America, from Mexico. A special shout out for everybody listening in Canada as well. Every country in Europe, the Middle East, just everywhere, up and down the equator. I mean, thank you. Thank you for making Back to the 80s Radio so popular. Let me put it to you this way. You guys know that we have a station called K-Hits 92.5. We want to let you know that we are going to be changing the name of the station to Back to the 80s Radio. It's going to be a network of shows, a network of jocks that reflect the 80s just like it was when you used to listen to radio back in the 1980s. And the station officially will be called Back to the 80s Radio. I don't think I've done this many, many times, but I want to give a very big thank you to one person in particular. He is my greatest friend in radio and personally. And I just want to thank you, Chang, because
I'm a hating bastard.
You are a hating bastard, and I got to thank this man right here, the Chang, because
I love you.
It is his energy. It is his motivation. And then sometimes you guys don't know that both Chang and I have gone through in our personal life, and we both bring each other up when needed.
Amen.
And it is just something that is rarely found. And when you have a friend like this, and so Chang, I got to thank you. I take my hat off to you, or in this case, my beanie. But I want to thank you, Chang, for being my brother in the radio business. Everybody, Chang is just more than a character. He's bigger than life, and I just got to thank you, my brother.
Thank you, my brother. Man, those words are heavy, brother. They fall upon my heart. They fall upon my soul. I feel everything that you mentioned for you. You know, before we came up with this show, me and this cat have been through the ringer. We've been working together since we got out of radio school. ARB gave us our start, gave us our way, and we will forever, ever be in the greatest thanks to ARB for creating this friendship, this team, this dynamic duel that hopefully you're enjoying. Hopefully we bring to you what we bring to each other. Joy, a little bit of relief from the daily hell. We give you a little bit of vigor. We give you a little bit of shot in the ass to get up and wake up, and no matter how bad things are, to pick up and carry on, because somebody is watching, and that person that may be watching is somebody that is going to look at you and your struggle as a mentor. Toscano, that's what you are to me. Boys and girls, that's exactly what you are to me, for tuning in, listening, hitting us on our social media, and anybody that I've ever had the privilege and blessing in my life to share time with, or when I was doing stand-up, anybody I made laugh, that has been my entire reason for me being me. I believe that for every laugh that me and this cat bring, the Lord is going to cast a feather in our suit of heaven's wings to fly the hell out of here when our mission is done here. You asked me earlier, what other forms of music did I listen to? Because everybody believes, oh, he's just a metalhead. Yeah, well, I am. But here's an individual that I was blessed to listen to growing up, and I went to go see at this particular concert that I'm going to play this artist from with my mom. I'm talking about the great blues jazz guitar player, Mr. George Benson. I could listen to George Benson cry, laugh, groove, and vibe. I could sit there with a glass of wine, and I wasn't even an altar boy. George Benson to me takes it home. This one particular night we went to go see when they recorded the Weekend in LA live album. So to me, that's one of the greatest shows I've ever been to. And I was just carried away by his guitar playing, the way he moved the crowd. I had not seen anything like that after, until I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan, which we discussed on last week's show.
Yeah, yeah.
Who could captivate, you know, with those fingers and move an entire audience from their soul to their toes. George Benson to me was incredible. That's my last favorite guitar player for show number two.
And brother, and to close out the evening, I'm going to close it out with Roland Orzabal. Roland Orzabal is maybe a name that you don't recognize. But when I tell you that in 1985,
sounds like a guy that did body work on my truck.
Okay, well, in 1985, this band released a single from their album Songs from the Big Chair. Now, you're wondering, what song is this? It's a song that today it resonates in a lot of people's hearts. And if you only listen to the lyrics, it expresses a reflection on the state of this world. It questions why so many people are driven by the ambition to dominate and rule over others. I'm talking about the band and the guitarist of Tears for Fears.
Oh,
and the song is Everybody Wants to Rule the World. On Back to the 80s Radio, we're going to be right back.
Welcome back to Back to the 80s Radio, hosted by yours truly, Toscano and Chang. You heard Tears for Fears with Everybody Wants to Rule the World, and that is as true today as it was the day those guys wrote that great song. We took the evening on a tour, on an event, and on a path, and we finished up our musical set with none other than George Benson, and we went to Broadway with On Broadway from the album George Benson's Weekend in L.A. You have been listening to Toscano and Chang right here at Back to the 80s Radio. I'm going to say goodnight and hand it over to my partner in crime, Toscano. So everybody out there, remain to be Changtastic. And before we release you to another Changorific week, remember to stay you. Stand up for yourselves. Have no fear. There is nothing out there that you cannot do. Stand up for somebody else. Always spread the love. Share the show. Interact with us. Make yourself part of the show, because that's how we grow. I bid you an aloha. An hasta la vista. Hasta mañana. Hasta luego. Sayonara. Arigato. To all my brothers and sisters in the OC, later brothers and hoes, to every homie across this land, I bid you a good night, stay safe, and think twice. Orale, this is the Chang, Toscano.
Keep on loving, and let the echoes of the 80s remind us to keep on loving each other. We'll see you next week.